On a rainy night in Tokyo, two fellow journalists, Hector Garcia Quiray and Francesc Miralles, met in a small bar and began discussing a journey that would later become one of the most best-selling books worldwide. Their aim was to explore the therapy that derives from the meaning of life. For example, what is the purpose of life? And why do some people know what they want and have a passion for life and others don't? It was that moment in their conversation that the mysterious word ikigai was born. This Japanese word that literally means the happiness of being constantly occupied or the reason for being, which can help us to determine what it is that we want to wake up for in the morning. I'm Katerina Badzaiki. Welcome to this week's Infinitely Curious program of ERT and the Voice of Greece, where we will explore why ikigai is so important in our lives, and apparently is also one of the reasons why the percentage of centenarians of every 100,000 residents on the island of Okinawa in Japan is 24.55%, far higher than the world average. So Hector and Francesc traveled to Okinawa in Japan, to Sardinia in Italy, to Loma Linda in California, to Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, and to the island of Ikaria in Greece, and discovered that these five different populations, apart from the healthy diet, simple life in the clean air, the herbs they consume, and the climate they live in, the main reason for living more than 100 is the ikigai that runs through their veins. In other words, the art of always aging young. Another journalist from the Netherlands that goes under the nickname Ainsel Ganger explains ikigai in a nutshell.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? What is my purpose? With so many opportunities that life has to offer, and all these different jobs and careers, it's quite difficult to decide what we want to do with our lives. Society demands us to make decisions at a very young age about what path we're going to take. Most of the time, children have no clue about what life is like in adulthood and what they want to do when they're grown up. In fact, many adults don't even have a clue. Now, the Japanese invented a philosophy named Ikigai, which stands for Reason for Being. Ikigai can help us to determine what it is that we want to wake up for in the morning. You know, that very thing that we can pour our heart and soul into. When we're totally immersed in our activities, so much so that nothing else matters, we're in a state of flow. Ikigai helps us to identify the necessary ingredients to get into this flow state and make our pursuit sustainable and useful for the world. Many people work in these jobs they hate. When we do this, the misery that we associate with these activities often creeps up on us on Sunday evenings, when we start to think about this dreadful Monday morning, on which we have to drag ourselves out of bed, knowing that we'll spend the next week in hell. When we arrive, we still experience this nostalgia for the weekend, and as soon as we begin with our tasks, we count down to the first break, and then the next, and then the next, until we can finally go home again and repeat the process. Now, this isn't a very enjoyable way to live. Think about it. Doing something we hate is a disservice to ourselves and also to our surroundings, especially when we see other colleagues that actually enjoy what they're doing, and on top of that, they're doing a great job. Again, many people get miserable because of their jobs, which in turn can lead to serious health problems like depression. Some even go as far as killing themselves, because they cannot cope with the feelings of uselessness, hopelessness, and this nagging idea that they're failures in life. But we have a certain degree of control over our circumstances. We can try to change our position towards the situation and make our current job more enjoyable. Or we can reassess our own nature and the nature of our surroundings and likely come to the conclusion that it's better to find something different to do. Thus, the change we need to make is twofold. On the one hand, we need to change our mindset. On the other hand, we need to change our circumstances. Because when we do the right things with the right mindset, we're able to enter a state of flow. Ikigai helps us to identify what is the right thing to do for a certain individual. So this person is able to get out of bed in the morning with a sense of purpose and, therefore, is able to work with almost no effort. Now, Ikigai consists of four dimensions. Firstly, we need to pick something that we're good at. Secondly, it must be a thing that we love to do. Thirdly, the world should need it. And lastly, we have to get paid. Let's talk about each dimension separately. 1. Doing what we're good at. Everyone has a different skill set. Some things are based on nurture and some things are based on nature. For a great part, we can learn skills. But we also have inborn characteristics that make different people suitable for different things. For example, we see differences in IQ, motor skills, empathy, physical strength, etc. Oftentimes, people focus on improving the things they're bad at. They spend their whole lives repairing themselves while rejecting the things they're naturally good at. So we might want to focus on the latter and improve those skills so we become masters at it. Because why put so much energy into becoming mediocre at best when we have the opportunity to become great? Not to mention how the world benefits from us manifesting our true potential. However, according to the Ikigai philosophy, this should be something that the world needs, which I'll address in a minute. 2. Doing what we love to do. This is very obvious, but it's also a tricky one. While a level of skill can be measured, this dimension is kind of subjective and a bit complicated. For example, you might love to be a full-time YouTube content creator, but there might be some aspects of the process that you don't like at all. You might love editing videos, writing scripts, but hate filming. In this case, filming becomes a bottleneck. Now, we can try to make filming more enjoyable. Perhaps we can change our workflow or go to different locations so we can still be immersed in this task and experience a flow state. Mindset is a key here, and with the right focus, we're able to effortlessly do the tasks that are necessary but that we don't like that much. Of course, outsourcing is an option as well. But when our activities as a whole make us dreadful and we don't see any way to develop a certain enjoyment while doing them, it might be a better idea to find something else to do. Perhaps we're just not interested in this field, or our skills are lacking, which frustrates us. At the end of the day, there's no accounting for taste, so it's probably much easier to just listen to our guts and let intuition decide where to go. 3. Doing what the world needs. It's all great when we have determined what we're good at and what we love to do, but that isn't enough to call it ikigai. Because our activities should, in one way or another, benefit the world. If they don't, it's simply a passion. Luckily, the needs of the world come in many different flavors. Jobs that are looked down upon by some people are often highly important. Someone has to pick up the trash. Someone has to fix our sink. And we wouldn't be able to thrive as a society without people cleaning up the mess. If we find enjoyment in these kind of jobs, that's absolutely terrific. To discover what the world needs, we can simply do some market research to find out the current demands. Or we can look at the world from a wider perspective, asking ourselves how we, with our skill sets, can make it a better place. 4. Doing what generates money. Some argue that money isn't important or shouldn't be a factor. But when we look at reality, we see that money makes the world go round. And without money, we can't pay the bills. So to make our efforts sustainable and truly a reason for being, they must generate income. If not, our activities become more of a hobby. There's nothing wrong with a hobby, of course. However, this also means that we need a job we might not like to pay the bills, and therefore sacrifice the majority of our time and energy for something we're not passionate about and don't see as our life's mission. So we could see money as a form of energy that fuels us in our pursuits. Now we have addressed the four dimensions of Ikigai. It's essential to explore how these dimensions relate to each other and how a combination of them form an Ikigai. When we do what we love and what we're good at, we have a passion. But this passion isn't sufficient to be an Ikigai, because it could very well be something that the world doesn't need or is even destructive to our environment. Also, it may not generate money or even cost us money. Yet being passionate about something is part of an Ikigai. Doing what we love and what the world needs, we call a mission. But a mission alone isn't an Ikigai, because we might not be good at it and not earning a dime doing it. Yet seeing our activities as a mission is an ingredient for a reason for being. When we do something that the world needs and what we get paid for, we have found a vocation. But does that mean that we like what we do and that we're good at it? Not necessarily. And that's why a vocation may be something that the world demands and that we do out of a sense of duty, but we may absolutely hate doing it. So a vocation alone isn't an Ikigai. Lastly, doing what we're good at and what we are paid for is called a profession. Does that mean that the world needs it and that we love what we do? Again, not necessarily. Some people hate their profession, and some professions are even destructive to the world. So a profession alone isn't an Ikigai. What makes an Ikigai is the combination of all four dimensions. This means that a reason for being includes a passion, a mission, a vocation, and a profession. These are all the ingredients that facilitate us to engage in a worthwhile pursuit that we love to get up for in the morning. And when we love what we do, it's so easy to immerse ourselves in it and get in a state of flow. The secret lies in aligning our own nature with the nature of our environment to establish an optimal interplay between ourselves and our surroundings so that our pursuit becomes effortless. The Taoists call this Wu Wei, which can be translated as effortless action. It's essential to remember that what we're looking for is not set in stone. Many factors play a role in deciding what our Ikigai is in a constantly changing world. Remaining in that flow state means that we continually need to adapt and fine-tune our position within the whole. Ikigai, therefore, isn't static. It's an active entity that changes with the flow of time.
We all have an Ikigai. For those of you who just tuned in to the English show Infinitely Curious of ERT and The Voice of Greece, Ikigai is the Japanese word for a reason to live, or a reason to jump out of bed in the morning. It's the place where your needs, desires, ambitions, and satisfaction meet, a place of balance. Many wonder why finding your ikigai is closely linked to living longer. To understand this further, Okinawa resident and restaurant owner Emiko Kinjo tells Euronews her recipe to a long life.
What we grow in the vegetable garden, we cook and the customers taste it right away. We have a way of life where the vegetable garden and the kitchen are closely linked. And as a nutritionist, I feel that the food is very fresh.
Kukui, Shio and Ukiko are over 90 years old and explain their own secret to an inexhaustible appetite for life.
I don't try to live as long as possible. It happens naturally because we all gather, laugh and cry together. And that's what's good. That's what we say.
That's it. That's really the way of life in Okinawa.
I think the secret of longevity is not to worry and move on.
In Okinawa, farmer Tamaki Shinpuku grows chinkwasa, a Japanese fruit, and explains why fruit is so important to a healthy diet.
Regardless of if the weather is good or bad, we eat chikwanza. I also eat a lot of mandarins, and my friends too. That's our little pleasure.
Ikaria, a tiny island in the Aegean Sea in Greece, is another example of a blue zone, a special place where life expectancy is much higher than the rest of the world. In an interview to Vice Channel, Ikaria resident Thodoris Kargas explains why he chose Ikaria to be his new home.
I hadn't verbalized it or thought of it consciously. Something was wrong with my life there, so I had to change it. Working, making really good money in companies with 10-hour shifts and trying to escape only for a weekend to nature to enjoy things, it made no sense anymore to me. And I said I will come here to try to see how life can be differently. So I came, I tried it. It was just an experiment in the beginning. Farming and seeing the herbs and what I could do with these things attracted me so much that then it was just, in 1 year or two, living my old life was already a dream. It was, I couldn't go back anymore.
Speak to me in future tense. Yeah.
Makoto Suzuki is a cardiologist and geriatrician. He is professor of emeritus and former director of the Department of Community Medicine of the University of Ryukyus. Currently, he directs the Okinawa Research Center for Longevity Science and is the principal investigator of the Okinawan Centenarian Study. In his TEDx talk, he explains the value of blue zones through his 36-year study, which is the longest-running centenarian study in the world.
I'd like to explain what is a blue zone. Where is the blue zone? This is the five blue zone in the world, including Okinawa. And anyway, I'm invited to, every time I'm invited to the blue zone area for the international symposium or international congress. Last year, I was invited to the Roma Linda, California, also the Nicoya Spanish out. That's Costa Rica. This year, I was also invited to the Italy, Sardinia, Italy. Next year, I'm going to the Icaria, Icaria Island, Greece, including Okinawa. Totally five blue zones in the world. Every place, they have a very high level of average life expectancy. You know, hybrid expectancy and also the centenarian rate. Average life expectancy, centenarian rate, very high in every area. Also, so many healthy centenarians living in that place. That is called blue zone. Who they decided the blue zone. This picture, many representatives of our blue zone area, that's the tallest person, but that side, that's Dan Buettner. He advocated the blue zone. It's 2004. At that time, she wrote the blue zone book. Very popular now. In Okinawa, at the 1995, a big conference was done in Okinawa. That is a proclamation, longevity proclamation ceremony was held in Okinawa. That in 1995. Burzon is advocated 2004. That means 10 years before advocacy of blue zone. At that time, I'm a coordinator, and invited the Secretary General from WHO. It was the World Health, WHO, you know, but World Health Organization. And this picture is that. Memorial Power Tower, and another one is the statement of WHO. I established a centenary study about 40 years ago. After present, for the past 40 years, I have collected so many data, medically and sociologically, and also the background data from the healthy longevity in Okinawa. And I have collected and also the analyzed and integrated four kind of factors. This is the main items of healthy longevity. It was listed in the book of Okinawa program. That's in the case of four items. First one is the diet culture. Diet culture including how to cooking way of Okinawa diet. Also the diet, eating habit such as the hana hachibu, you know, hari hachibu, is a 80% rule. and the kind of a calorie restriction. That's our first one, diet culture. Second is physical activity. Third one is self-help manner, that not only the physical things, but also the mental and the social and the spiritual. That's an important thing. So fourth one is the mutual health custom. So kind of items are very important, not equally important. And this is listed in the Okinawa program. The Okinawa program is published in the United States. That's 2002. That we got the second rank of the bestseller book in the United States. Up to the present, totally 19 countries' version was published, and Europe and Asia and many countries in the world, maybe. And I think I like to introduce that one. That's a ikigai, you know, ikigai in the kind of spiritual phase of longevity, maybe. Ikigai. But ikigai is a Japanese word, not the English word, maybe. According to the dictionary, reason for being, maybe. Reason for being, I don't know what means. Reason for being is a translated word, ikigai. Maybe Japanese ikigai, and that's a reason of being ikigai is completely different. I like to introduce what is a real ikigai, and especially for the Okinawan style ikigai here. Anyway, ikigai is a source of resilient and thriving longevity, I think. That is the real bosom, I think. Anyway, that's the idea. I like to introduce real ikigai today. In Okinawa, in the wartime, 200,000 people are killed. 200,000 people were killed at that time. And also in the Iejima Island. She lived in the Iejima Island. Battle is more severe than the mainland of Okinawa. And her husband was killed. And also children, her family, was all of them are killed. But she escaped the death by the skin of teeth. And she always said, "I'm very tired of the past." But I cannot say talking about anymore about it, she said. But she said, "I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Why? I have lots of food, enough to eat, enough to drink. I'm surrounded by many intimate friends. I'm very happy." I think she put the past behind her. She lived in the present. She lived in the present. That's important. Live in the present by the her own stress coping mechanisms. Next, I'd like to show another thing. That's a moai. Moai. You know the moai. What's that? But very popular word, but no English here. The moai is a kind of ritualistic connection to the sort of knitted group, maybe. But Ritualistic, very difficult name. Ritualistic means place, time, and the date, and the rules are decided before that, before that. But the members are very strictly ruled and also kept. That's the ritualistic. Very difficult name, but that is the moai. Moai is act, moai act, the mutual help. Also the doing away with loneliness. That's an important factor of the viskata, you know. And another thing is that contributing the society, it will produce the sense of purpose, maybe. Another example I show. This is a 101 years lady. She embraced the great grandchild at home. She said, "I'm a big Brit." I think so. Another example. That's a 111 years male. 111. Visited his house with the nurse in my hospital. And at that time, suddenly he proposed to her. Wonderful. That's how kind of things happen. I think that is the frame of his ikigai. After that, I asked the nurse told me, I have didn't get married, you know, she told me I have another ikigai. I will help you. I will help him to get the highest top level at the age of the human beings. She said, "That's a wonderful story." Another example, Kajimaya, you know, Kajimaya. Kajimaya is that's a 97 years festival, you know. That's very huge ceremony in Okinawa. That depends upon the Ayakari ceremony. Arakari ceremony and also the gorgeous parade. Ayakari means the giving, passing the to the audience. That is a very big dream, maybe. Very big ikigai for the elderly people in Okinawa. But not only elderly people, but also the young people too. That is the example of ikigai now. Tsame, preserving ikigai is a very big factor, especially over the entire lifetime. We will create resilient and thriving longevity. It will produce the derivative or the meditative life, maybe. That kind of a style, maybe. Extend to the society, or school, or society, or city, or town, or country. Maybe we will distinguish the violence and the struggles in the society. So maybe the promote to the peaceful existence in the world.
Thank you.
American-Japanese author Tim Tamashiro, whose parents are from Okinawa, says finding your ikigai is easier than you might think, but it takes a lot of work. You have a purpose in this world. Your skills, your interests, your desires, and your history have made you the perfect candidate for something. All you have to do is find it, he says. In his book, How to Ikigai, Lessons for Finding Happiness and Living Your Life's Purpose, and his TEDx talk, he explains why he quit his job to find his own ikigai and why he returned to his roots.
I had a job once upon a time, about this time last year. Had a radio host job at CBC Radio 2. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was so good. However, I quit my job. I quit my job so I could focus on my work instead. So let's just clarify that. A job in this context is something that you do as a regular form of employment. It's what you get, you know, money to do so you can pay for your house and for your food and things like that. Work, on the other hand, work is something that you do in order to achieve a result, something like a product, or maybe even something like a purpose, like maybe like a more meaningful you? Sounds good, doesn't it? So this last year, my work focused on anything that I could do that was exciting, that was interesting to me. I went on a trip to Oregon, and I saw the full eclipse with my full eyes. I also went on an icebreaker, and I traveled across the Northwest Passage. I went to Canada's North Coast. I also traveled with my family and some dear friends. We went to Dominican Republic. We helped build houses for people, and I filmed a documentary. And I also did all sorts of little projects as well. I had a podcast for a while. I wrote a play that was a musical. I also did a Facebook Live talk. But probably more precious than anything is that I finally got to go on a family trip to Okinawa, Japan. Now, Okinawa is very precious to me because it's a place where my grandparents were born. It's also the place where ikigai comes from. I've always felt something urging me to get out and to do special things in my life, and I think it was ikigai that did it. Okinawa, by the way, is a place that the most 100-year-olds in the world live per capita. 100-year-olds are revered and respected. But Okinawa was very, very special to me because of the connection to my family and ikigai. And I was thinking, boy, why couldn't this whole ikigai thing spread around the world? Well, it is possible. And there is another idea that came from Okinawa that you've heard of. It's karate. Karate Kid? Daniel-san? Karate is actually two words in Japanese. Kara, which means empty, and te, which means hand. So it literally translates to empty hand. Now, in 1609, the Japanese forces invaded Okinawa. It was called Ryukyu Islands back then. Basically, they won the battle, and they said to the Okinawans, okay, you can't have weapons anymore. give us your weapons. And the Okinawan said, okay, here you go. Our hands will be our weapons. They had already invented karate. They didn't call it karate yet, but they knew that they had a special form of self-defense. Then in the Second World War, there was another terrible battle that happened in Okinawa, and it was the American forces this time fighting the Japanese forces. History shows that the American forces won the Battle of Okinawa, and they've been stationed there ever since. And since then, the American soldiers have witnessed karate for the first time. And they said, hey, this is pretty cool. I want to learn karate too. So they learned it, and eventually they would take it back to the United States, and it started to spread and spread and spread. Now everybody knows about karate, right? Daniel-san? That other concept that comes from Okinawa is ikigai. Ikigai is two words as well. Iki means life, gai, purpose. Ikigai is life's purpose. Isn't that a beautiful word? It's a lovely word. Thank you for your indifference. This is what it means. This is the treasure map. Ikigai has four directions. Do what you love. Do what you're good at. Do what the world needs. And do what you can be rewarded for. It seems simple, but it's difficult. Now, I would estimate that ikigai is similar to karate in that you can earn degrees or belts in it as well. You have to start someplace. And I think that I got my yellow belt when I was 20 years old. Sexy time. I was 20 years old and I was living at my parents' house. And I remember laying in bed one day thinking to myself, what am I going to do for the rest of my life that would be interesting and fun? I didn't want to just go get a job. I wanted to focus on my work. And like a bolt of lightning, it hit me. And I sat up in bed and I said, I am going to go to music school. So that's what I did. I went to music school for 2 years. And then from that moment on, I focused on nothing but music aspects in my life. I've done all sorts of amazing things in my life. I work for a record company called MCA Records. I also made 6 jazz albums. I performed all over the country. I had that 10-year career at CBC Radio 2, 6 nights a week, writing 70 stories every week. It was such an amazing career. But then I came to realize something, that I enjoyed myself, but I didn't really know why I was doing it. I knew what I wanted to do or what I loved to do and what I was good at, but I didn't understand why I was doing it and why the world needed that. So I spent this last year figuring out what my ikigai is, and I've boiled it down to a 2-word phrase. My ikigai is to delight. To delight. That's what I go out for every day in the world, whether I'm talking with a clerk at the grocery store, or if I'm singing a song on stage, or if I'm on the radio, or if I'm giving a TED talk to you wildly attractive people right now. My ikigai is to delight. I throw it out into the world, and I get it back in return. It's the full cycle. Now, you're probably wondering to yourself, well, that's great, Tim. Now we know what your ikigai is. What is my ikigai? Let me give you some directions on how you might be able to start figuring that out. I suggest to start part-time. Part-time ikigai is within reach. Right? It is very within reach. And I'll tell you something. When you look at there and you see on the screen that there are 2 sections of the day where you don't really do anything, that adds up to 8 hours, you can focus your work on the 5 to 9 hours of the day. Okay? Start part-time. Figure out what you love to do and what you're good at. Spend time on that for as long as you like. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can start a side hustle, or you can do a side helpful. A side hustle, by the way, there's a lot of millennials that have side hustles. Up to 50% of millennials have side hustles, according to studies. 50%. And why do they have those side hustles? It's because it gives them the opportunity to be able to do what they're good at and do what they love. And it opens up the opportunity to be able to transfer that part-time ikigai into maybe full-time ikigai down the road. And it doesn't hurt that you can make a little bit of money off it either, right? But what if money isn't necessarily behind your ikigai? Maybe you want to just broaden your heart. Well, you can do a side helpful instead. At Yale University, Professor Lori Santos teaches a course that is called The Science of Well-Being. And this course, she takes time to be able to explain that we are really, really bad at figuring out what it is that are going to make us happy. So things like money and job and your good looks and your big house, they really have no impact on your base level of happiness. What does have an impact are things like kindness and meditation, time affluence, in other words, doing with your time what you want to do with your time, and spending time with friends and family. Ikigai is an action. It's a verb. To serve, to create, to delight, to nourish, to provide, to teach, to heal, to connect, to build. Is there any verb on that list that resonates with somebody in the crowd? Nod your head if there is. Yes? Yeah, there's some nodding happening down here. Yes? Show, put up your hand if you see something up there that's exciting. I have some yellow belts. This is good. Where's your hand? Here we go. Here's a yellow belt for you. We got a yellow belt in the front row over there, and there's got to be somebody over there. There's a yellow belt right there. You have earned your yellow belt in ikigai. You know what you're good at. You know what you love to do. Looks good on you. Ikigai is as reliable as a mathematical equation. Ikigai equals time affluence plus your gifts plus rewards in return. And you can do it over and over and over again, and you're going to be so much richer because of it. Your meaningful life is not a destination you have to get to. Your meaningful life is something that you can enjoy right now and anytime you want to. Okay? A little bit of joy every day is going to add up to a lifetime of joy, isn't it? And when you finally get the chance to spend time getting to know what you do or what you love and what you're good at, your ikigai will start to come into light. And eventually, over time, you will earn your black belt. Your meaningful life is going to be a lot of work. But I think you really already know this, that you are worth the work. And now you have the ikigai map to show you how.
Ikigai book, as we said at the beginning of the show, journalist García and Miralles interviewed more than 100 elderly residents of Ogimi Village, Okinawa Prefecture, renowned for being a village of longevity. One thing that these healthy and active seniors have in common is that each has an ikigai, or something worth living for. When we asked what their ikigai was, they gave us explicit answers, such as their friends, gardening and art. Everyone knows what the source of their zest for life is and is busily engaged in it every day, says Garcia. Another distinguishing feature of this community is that the elders have strong social links with their peers and frequently get together to enjoy karaoke, birthday parties and more. Garcia adds that avoiding social isolation is linked to the motivation and confidence to lead active lives. Continuing to work or energetically enjoy hobbies is characteristic of many Japanese seniors. A national survey conducted in 2018 found that 47.5% of people aged 70 and older are active in ways such as working, enjoying hobbies, or participating in community activities. Another study conducted on people aged 65 and over revealed that those who work only for financial reasons, compared with those who work in pursuit of their ikigai, have a 1.55 times greater risk of decline in functional capacity 2 years later. Considering such data, the Japanese government is actively supporting the employment and social engagement of senior citizens. Borrowing the words of renowned psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, what man actually needs is not a tensionless state, but rather the striving and struggling for some goal worthy of him. Garcia believes that this applies not only to senior citizens, but to young people as well. In a UNICEF survey conducted in 21 countries in 2021, about 36% of young people aged 15 to 24 responded that they often felt nervous, worried, or anxious, and 19% also said that they often felt depressed or had little interest in doing things. For such young people, Garcia published a new book, Ikigai for Teens, Finding Your Reason for Being, in 2021. When we were children, we all thought about what we wanted to be in the future, but it is also important to think about your ikigai from a young age. If I had known about ikigai when I was young, my life would have been different, Garcia said. As we already saw, both in Okinawa and Ikaria, if the word and all its edifying qualities are expanded across generations, ikigai may evolve to further heights as a universal term expressing a rich and fulfilling life. I'm Katerina Badzaiki. Join us next week in another of our Infinite Curious programs of ERT and The Voice of Greece. Meanwhile, try to stay active and not retire. Take it slow. Don't fill your stomach with too much food. Surround yourself with good friends. Get in shape for your next birthday. Remember to smile. Reconnect with nature. Give thanks. Live in the moment. And never forget to follow your own ikigai.